talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, Moneycoin, Yourcoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsluts.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history. Right side.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery, real natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace... stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable 5 here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable 5. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan Baker. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday,
for free association. When we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty?
The mission is it
treason to oppose the hands of tyranny. Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is Jim Fetzer inviting you to join me on The Raw Deal, Revolution Radio, Studio B, Tuesday and Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific, JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Charlottesville, Las Vegas, the latest on politics and foreign affairs from an unconventional point of view. Come join Revolution Radio Tuesday, Thursday, Studio B.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
The time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the game to the people who run it, to the people who own it. And unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Rush! You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
It doesn't feel like a holiday. It doesn't feel like a holiday. It feels just another day. But happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. You can get involved by calling 888-77-5373. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. And we have every way to watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. So you can find all kinds of ways to watch it. All kinds of ways. And you can also listen to the show if you're out and about. You traveled out of town to visit mama, and now you're on your way back, or you're still out of town. You can call the listen line on TalkStream Live, 717-567-4971. 717-567-4971. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, JLP Talk. JLP Talk on Twitter. JLP Talk on Twitter. And Jesse Lee Peterson on Instagram. All right. So I'm told that some calls, so call back if it doesn't work for you at first. On the listen line there, sometimes it takes a minute for the listen line to kick on. Sometimes it takes a minute for the listen line to kick on. So call back if it doesn't work for you at first, all right? Amazing. Amazing church yesterday. We're going to get into some of that as we move forward today. I have a brand new biblical question coming up in a minute. But amazing church yesterday. If you were not there, I hope that you watched it online, live. If not, because I know a lot of you are out celebrating Mama's Day. You can podcast the show, all right? Podcast, JesseLeePeterson.com/store. JesseLeePeterson.com/store. It's amazing what's happening in America today, right? Amazing. Amazing. I've been saying for a long time and trying to encourage you, and some of you are doing it, some are not, of course, to know thyself. To know thyself. There's nothing like knowing yourself. And the way things are going, you better get to know yourself if you are to survive the works of the devil. If you are to survive, you're going to only be able to do it once you get to know yourself. That's the only way it's going to happen. And unfortunately, for now, and most never will know themselves, a few will, because knowing yourself takes work. And a lot of people today are too lazy to work. To work on, truly work on themselves. And if it doesn't work right away, they give up on themselves. Can you imagine? But I urge you to know thyself, become an individual. There is nothing like becoming an individual. It really is amazing. Because most people are not. They follow the crowd. They follow the title. They follow everything but what is right. As themselves. Inside of themselves. And as a result of a country going to hell in a handbasket. And now that election time is coming up again, this November, midterm election, you have not seen it's going to get worse. Because our government, especially this government we have now, is desperate to stay in power by any means necessary. And if it means letting the children of the devil riot, burn, and destroy, and intimidate, they will encourage that, and because the children of the devil are not aware, they fall for it. Like, an example is this fake idea that abortion has ended, or that abortion will end. It's not true. Abortion is still alive until you kill the baby, because each state can decide by will of the voters if they want abortion in their states or not. and most liberal states, and probably some of those so-called conservative states, will allow abortion to happen. But the politicians have the people wound up under this fake idea that if the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, that abortion is over. And the people just falling for it. They're not even checking to see if it's true. They don't even want to hear that is if it's true or not. They're wound up already, protesting and trying to intimidate in the same way they did with Black Lives Matter, terrorized the country, brought an insurrection upon the country. It's the same thing. Same thing. A group worse than the KKK. Make the KKK look like angels sent by God. And so the people are being controlled right now, right now, right now. They are turning America into a ghetto. Because in ghettos is where people fight all the time. They kill one another. And no one cares. They kill one another and no one cares in ghettos. Have you noticed that? Look at the ghettos around you. Every day, killing happens. Carjacking, robberies, everything. That's happening in America. They are turning my country into a ghetto. And I knew that would happen when they elected Barack Obama, the father messiah. He set the tone to turn America into a ghetto. And lo and behold, it's happening. It's amazing to see it. So we all know the reality of this abortion thing, right? That is not over. It should have never been in the U.S. Supreme Court's hands. So they're now finally, hopefully they'll continue to turn it back over to the people and let the people decide. And that's the one thing that put fear in the women that want to kill the children in the womb. They believe that if they turn it back over to the people will vote and they may end abortion. And why would anyone want to stop a woman from killing the man's child or children? And I've told you over and over again that the devil works through the woman. And abortion is a perfect example of that. The devil working through the woman. Abortion is a perfect example of that. Isn't that amazing? Because you got to be of the devil, the accuser, right? To kill a human in the body. An innocent human that has done nothing wrong, committed no sins, nothing wrong in the body. You know you got to be of the accuser, the devil. It's mind-blowing. And so these people now are so blind that they are going to the homes of the U.S. Supreme Court justices trying to intimidate them. And it's unfortunate that the cops did not lock them up when they heard that they were coming, because you can't do that to the U.S. Supreme Court. But because they have gotten away with it now for so long, and they know that the radical Democrat representatives and the right or Republicans are okay with it, they're doing it now some more. And I guarantee you, if this had been Donald Trump supporters doing this, the Tea Party or Donald Trump supporters doing this, there would be major arrests happening. Major. But because it's the Democrats supporters who are doing this, it's okay. Peaceful protest. What a double standard in my country. This is from Breitbart. Here's an example of turning America into a ghetto. Breitbart is reporting that a group of radical pro-abortion activists gathered outside the home of Maryland U.S. Supreme Court Justice John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh on Saturday to protest the court expected decision to repeal Roe versus Wade. Watch this.
My choice!
Rain did not stop dozens of pro-choice protesters from taking to the quiet streets of Chevy Chase, Maryland, to make one thing clear.
You don't get to take away my bodily autonomy and enjoy your Saturday night at home. You can do one or the other.
First stop, Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home, where they were greeted by Montgomery County police officers. Then they headed over to Chief Justice John Roberts' residence with a similar message. Lacey Wooten Hallway, who has had an abortion and is a sexual assault survivor, has been holding candlelight vigils in front of Justice Kavanaugh's home. But since the draft opinion indicating the Supreme Court is poised to overturn Roe versus Wade was leaked, the crowd keeps growing.
You know, if you take away our choices, we will riot.
Organizers say that some residents have called their protests disrespectful because they're bringing politics into their neighborhood. But Emily, who lives in the community, says that the stakes are too high when the constitutional right to abortion is on the line.
Such a high-stakes situation that if, you know, it's a little bit noisy in the neighborhood, you know, in comparison to what women in this country are facing, like, it's really not a big deal.
Protests will continue throughout the upcoming week. The next one is scheduled in front of Justice Alito's house. Now, in this Chevy Chase neighborhood, it will be Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Amazing, right? Evil blind people. Evil blind people. Isn't that amazing? I pity the man who married these types of women. Your children are dead before they can happen. And so will you be, spiritually. I pity the men who will marry these type of women. This is why I've said over and over and over and over again, never, ever, ever marry an educated woman. They do not make for good wives and mothers. You have to pay a price if you do that. Your soul. These women are proud. And by the way, again, the U.S. Supreme Court is not overturning Roe versus Wade. But these women are proud to say out loud that they murder children in their womb. And they don't want anyone to stop them. And they're not even their children. They belong to the men. They don't even belong to the woman. And they are proud. And the reason they're doing this is because they hate the man. That's why they hate God. They hate God. And it's not them, but it's the spirit that's in them. It's the spirit of the accuser, the devil. And they don't realize it's the spirit of the devil. A normal human being who has overcome the devil would never want to kill another human being in the body, period, unless you're protecting yourself once, you know, somebody trying to hurt you physically. But who would want to kill a human being in the body and then make up excuses for it? What type of spirit is that? Think about it. Smoke on it. These stupid, dumb women in front of the justice home telling lies. Making it known that they are murderers of human beings. They are murderers of human beings. Isn't that amazing? They should not be allowed to go to the justice home to try to intimidate them to get the outcome they want. They can vote on it. Once the U.S. Supreme Court let it go, if they do, they can vote on it. if they want to kill babies, or they could use clothes hangers and go in the alley and do it. Let's say that every state says that is you're breaking the law to kill children in the womb. You still can use a clothes hanger and do it yourself. Don't tell nobody. It's not like you can't do it, right? If you're that desperate at killing children in the womb. I remember, and I wrote about it, Louis Farrakhan mama wanted to kill him with a clothes hanger. And look how miserable Louis Farrakhan is today. Nothing but anger, nothing but hatred. His mama didn't like him either. This is what we're dealing with in the world today. Pure, pure evil. And men hopefully will see this and wake up so they can bring the woman out of the hell that she's in. Women need men to guide them as men need Christ. And there's no way around it. The fathers need to guide their children so that when they go into the world, they won't be easily seduced by evil. But it's not happening, folks, in the home. These evil women and those weak men who are protesting with them should be arrested. They are taking a joke too far. The joke is over. This is from Fox. White House press secretary on Friday said the administration believe in peaceful protests. When asked about protests showing up at Supreme Court Justice Holmes, watch this.
These activists posted a map with the home addresses of the Supreme Court justices. Is that the kind of thing this president wants to help your side make their point?
Look, I think the president's view is that there's a lot of passion, a lot of fear, a lot of sadness from many, many people across this country about what they saw in that leaked document. We obviously want people's privacy to be respected. We want people to protest peacefully if they want to protest. That is certainly what the president's view would be.
Would the president's view be that if a group of Trump supporters protest peacefully? Or would they call it something else? Would they call it something else? Amazing. The government and the people are the same. The government, this country gets the type of government it deserves because you vote in who you are. And what you do to yourself, you do it to others. What others do to themselves, they do it to you. And what's so weird about this, interesting about it, is that this government doesn't care about the women who are protesting about abortion. They can care less about those people. Zero about them. If you doubt me, look at the economy. It's affecting those folks too. Gas prices, illegal aliens coming in, like 90 going north, food shortages, everything going wrong, right? But where do our government go and show their support? Where do they send our money to? Ukraine. And these women think that the government loves them. It's time to wake up, folks. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. Come home. It's time to become an individual again. Because as long as you are part of the wide road that leads to destruction, a part of the crowd, then you're never going to know freedom. You're not going to know it. It just ain't going to happen. This country was built on the idea, and it was that way for a long time, individuality. Become an individual. Know that you know that you know that you know. Love your neighbor as yourself, and you'll be fine. This is not the way of America. Let me go out to Canada and talk to a first-time caller, Matthew. Matthew, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your call.
Okay, so where was I going? You've kind of skewed off of, first of all, I have to say I'm not American. So I don't really have a horse in this race. Canada's going to have our insane laws, whatever. But I don't understand what either side has to gain from this other than money and activism.
When you say either side, who are you referring to?
Well, why is anyone pro-abortion or anti-abortion? What you should be is, I'll mind my own business and do what I think is morally right.
You mean that the ones who are on the side of right should not care at all about women killing children in the womb?
Well, it's the perfect American system is everybody minds their own business and everything just kind of works out in the end, correct?
That's what it should be.
That's the whole idea of a free market, right? Is right. Everybody takes care of themselves.
Right. And so are you saying that the ones who are taking care of themselves, in my mind, is
anti-abortion and pro-abortion is being monetized. I don't want to accuse you of doing it, but definitely, like, you know, all the leftist organizations I can accuse of doing that. Yeah, they're accepting a militant position and making money off of it. It's an issue that does not affect them.
How do the people who are against killing children in the womb get money from that?
Well, political activism, of course, donations from everyone, from all over the place.
But how about the people who are
on your website, but like just the sanguinary story.
Right.
So I'm sorry, I apologize for that. I do have a foul mouth. But it angers me.
Why does it anger you?
People making money off of people's private business.
But why does that anger you if you say that no one should care? Why are you angry about that?
No one should care. It's everybody's private business. Everyone should just do what they want.
I know, but why are you angry?
Are we worried about Evan filling up, Jesse?
Matthew, why are you angry if they're doing this for the money? Why does it bother you?
Well, you're also doing it for money.
You just said
you're
fighting
them for the money.
Why are you angry about it? You're not answering that question.
Well, the answer to the question is I shouldn't have to be angry about it.
Why are you angry about it? I
suppose you're correct, actually, because I shouldn't care.
That was a question. Why are you? You said no one else should care, but you said you're angry about the money rate part of it. Why are you angry about it? If you shouldn't care,
you're correct. You've helped me through this. You've helped me through this.
That was a question.
Why are you angry
about it? That wasn't a statement. You didn't answer. Why are you angry about it? If no one should care.
Well, I did just answer it. You're correct. I shouldn't care. I refuse to care.
Why are you angry about it?
I'm angry because it feels like a violation of privacy from either side.
But how is it your privacy?
Well, I've never had an abortion. I'm a man. You can hear my voice, correct?
But why are you upset about it? It's not invading your privacy.
It's a thing that fills the zeitgeist, and it's a waste of time.
But why are you, Matthew, you're not answering my question. Matthew, you're not answering my question, though. If no one should care, no one business, why are you personally angry about it?
Because it fills up the zeitgeist, Jesse, and there's too many people that are making money off of a fake issue that shouldn't be an issue.
So then how are you going to judge the people who are making the money when you're angry yourself. You're judging.
Yeah, but I'm not making money off of it. Therefore, I'm not encouraging it.
Oh, so you're not making the money, so it's okay to judge those who are?
Off of abortion? Yes, yeah. I don't think anybody should make any money off of abortion.
But
I also don't think it should be taxpayer funded. I think there's a way out of this mess.
Matthew, do you think that anyone should judge someone that make the money off abortion?
Yes. Yeah, I do think so, yeah.
So who gave you the right to judge?
God.
God gave you a right to judge?
Correct.
You believe
if God says the behavior is incorrect, then I should be able to judge off of it.
You believe in God?
Am I not Solomon?
You believe in God?
Perhaps not the Christian God or a Jewish God or a Muslim God, but yeah, there's got to be something, yeah.
Do you believe in God?
Who, your God?
Do you believe in God?
Sure. For the sake of argument, sure.
And so you're lying on God. Well, it all depends on, I guess you believe in the devil because you're lying on the true God when you said he gave you the right to judge.
Well, if I was going to believe in God, I'd have to believe in the devil, correct? Because there's a positive and a negative.
I don't know, Tim. Do you believe in the devil?
Not really.
Amazing.
If he exists, he's me.
Amazing.
Don't you think so? I think the man and all his flaws is the devil if you wanted to get theocratic about it.
Amazing. Matthew, thanks for your call. I got to take a break. Quick break. Back in a moment. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's going to have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. Love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. Hey, folks, welcome back. There's one line open at 888-77-JESSE. Super Chats.
Super Chats.
Amazing.
All right. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, sir. How was your weekend?
It was nice.
The weather was amazing, huh?
Yeah, it was great. L.A. weather. That's all L.A.'s got going for it these days.
That's about it. What a mess!
No, it was good. Some good R&R.
Yeah.
And some great church fellowship on Sunday.
Yeah, it was amazing. Did you call your mama? On Mother's Day?
I sent her a text message.
Oh. Oh, we love my mama.
She said thanks.
She's my favorite. She texted you back.
Yeah, she said thanks.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning, Super Chats.
All right, Super Chatters. Let's see here. This one was from from Friday. Catch the thought with a diamond on D-Live says, intellect is governed by identity. Pay attention.
Amazing. That's a good point.
And we had a few from the Fallen State premiere that we will, well, I guess this one is no, there's no message, but they sent a super chat. So Joshua Boykin, thank you.
Thank you, Joshua.
From the Fallen State premiere. And George Vasquez says, Jesse is amazing.
Thank you, George. Amazing.
All right. And these are from church. Monty Ubaldo says, good morning, Jesse and crew. Thanks for the fellowship. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers in chat and also to the Bond women.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day. Thank you.
Epstein's Ghost says, speaking of raising a kid, I have a friend named Marcus Jones who would rather be in a goofy chat than spend time with her. He blat.
Amazing.
All right. Amazing stuff. Cold Burger Art says, interesting times we live in, amazing church.
It was. If you did not watch it live, church, or you were not there yesterday, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com/church. All right. Thank you. Podcast it.
All right. Ryan 8U, no message.
Thank you, Ryan. Hey, you.
Epstein's Ghost says, I have a squirrel named Earl. How do I skin it? Very nice.
Thank you.
Jib Jab on Streamlabs asks, what's the purpose of existing if not for procreating or connecting with other people? Why go on living?
Is that a real question?
I mean, they sent a super chat asking the question, so.
You're living to be an expression of God, to create love on the earth, that love should come through you. And just live and just be. If you want a baby, as long as you're not wanting it for ego reason, if you want a baby, you get married for the right reason, and that's hard to do. But you're on the earth to be an expression of love and not of hate. Amazing. Thank you.
Epstein's Ghost says, Tony from California still lives with his mama.
That's funny. Thank you. That's funny.
J-Rock, no message.
Thank you.
Thank you. JDNY Beta to Alpha says, happy Sunday. Love you all. I'm on the path because of your messengers. Thank you. Forgive to mamas today.
Yeah. Stay on that straight and narrow path, folks. Do not get off. The road will be bumpy, but if you stay there, stay there, stay there, you'll overcome the bumps. It's so amazing. Thank you.
Evgeny Crosby says, Joe Biden is getting his diaper changed while watching Mother's Day Church with Jesse Lee Peterson.
That's for sure. Amazing. Thank you.
Disturbing. Lin Yan Chin says, many suffer from emotional constipation, but no, Jesse, there's no living within confusion, a.k.a. insecurity. Only mama, Satan, and death awaits us there. A little response to what we were talking about in church yesterday.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into that. Thank you. He said there is no living in there.
Yeah, he said no living, but he put living in quotes. So I don't know. He might mean something obscure and esoteric.
Okay. All right. We'll get into that.
I need God to reveal it to me. Red Hand, no message.
Thank you.
Tim Scott, also no message.
Thank you, Tim.
Stephen Absolution, what's up, Stephen, says, Hope Hassan does another T-shirt for the next men's conference, based.
Yep. Thank you.
Right on. Almighty Red Skull says, my little tithe. Thanks for the tithe.
Thank you. Amazing.
Stefan J. Davis says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known?
Amazing. A response to the last week biblical question. All right. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Jamie W. says, love you all.
Thank you. Love you back.
Thank you. Piotr Robel says, thank you.
Thank you.
Lizzie Bean sends a heart emoji. Thank you.
Thank you, Lizzie.
Heart back at you. Ryan 8U, no message.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks. Evgeny Krause with the Diamond on D-Live says, church with Jesse Lee Peterson in one word. Amazing.
Amazing. It was mind-blowing yesterday, the fellowship. It really was. I never know how the, and I'm okay with that, too, how the church services will go. And that's why I really, really like them, because you just don't know what to expect. You don't know. And so it was amazing yesterday. And last Sunday for the last 30 years. Thank you. Or 20, whatever we've done. Go ahead. 32 years have been around, I believe. Okay.
Okay. That concludes the Super Chats from Sunday.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Super Chatters.
I do appreciate it. We'll get to the other ones in a minute here. Thank you for your tithe and offering, your donations, your support, your Super Chat. I do appreciate it. The Haik Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning, Monday through Friday, from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And I hope that you had a chance to catch Nick Stream on YouTube last Friday. Last Friday was amazing. Every Friday, Nick Stream on YouTube at 4 p.m. Pacific time. Heard around the world by everybody and their mama. I do appreciate that. Jason is a first-time caller out of Ohio. Jason, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
It's amazing. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, about the whole abortion thing. Like, these people that are protesting, these judges, they're probably the ones teaching our kids in school.
I would not be surprised. Good point, man. Because right. A lot of these women who are teaching in these schools are in support of abortion and all this other exactly. crap that they're teaching as well.
Yeah. I've seen one in Florida got fired for saying, for trying to do something with the kids, you know, her agenda.
Nice.
And have you ever heard of Tom McDonald, the rapper? Kind of like a political rapper?
No, not that I'm aware of.
No?
Yeah.
You should check him out.
Okay, I will. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it, buddy. Let me go to, but I will look that up. I have my producer get it for me. I've not heard of that guy. At least I'm not aware of it. Nicole is a first-time caller out of Texas. See you here. Nicole, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Nicole. Thanks for calling.
Oh, sure. I wanted to get your opinion on, you know, the transgender as being a rejection of who they are that God has placed them in, you know, male bodies or female bodies. And really all it is them rejecting God's order. What do you think about that?
Rejecting God's order. Well, what I've come to understand clearly now is that all people are born into a fallen state, meaning born of sin, turned away from God. And when you're turned away from God, Satan is your daddy. The devil is your God. And whatever nature, whatever he put up on you is what you start to believe in. And that's what this whole transgender thing is about. It's an evil thing, but the people cannot see what they're doing. They literally think that what they're doing is right because they cannot see themselves. They don't see what's going on. They're not even thinking for themselves. And these folks who are teaching it to the children in the schools don't realize, because they are of evil, they don't realize what they're doing. They know they shouldn't do it. That's why they sneak and do it. but they also think that they're right. And then I blame the parents, because if the mothers and fathers love their children, they would not be sending them to the schools. They would not send them to these schools, but they send them off anyway because the mother is trying to be equal to the man. It's all about her ego, so they don't really care about the children anymore.
Hmm. Now, what do you think about it being a curse on America as far as the transgender movement, the abortion, homosexuality now becoming legal to be married?
When you say a curse upon America, it is a curse upon each individual who doesn't overcome evil.
That's a good point.
It's because the people is America, right? And so anyone that does not overcome evil is cursed, because evil itself is of darkness, and there is no love, no peace, no nothing in it.
And would you assume then that if that person is following, they think that they're following themselves, but you said they're really following the devil, they're following Lucifer. So there's sort of messages from Satan that are coming to them about being gay, being transgender, killing children. Is that how you perceive that then?
Yeah, they identify with the devil, thinking that is themselves. You know how sometimes when you get angry,
mm-hmm.
don't you feel that you're right when you're angry?
Yes, it's as it says in Galatians 5, it's part of the flesh. The anger is a fleshly nature, and it's separate from your spirit.
And you feel right when you're angry, right?
Right. Justified in the anger, yeah.
That's no different than a transgender or abortion woman that want to kill children. It's the same spirit. It's the same devil.
Yeah.
And so.
Right. And then I guess, too, they're hurting themselves like a transgender. I could see what you mean. It's even a hate of self.
Well, it's a hate. They don't know themselves yet. And so they hate God and they love the devil without realizing it.
Mm.
And why
have Jesse, thanks. That was real helpful.
Why haven't you overcome your anger?
I would say anger is going to be overcome through God when we're born of the Spirit of God.
Why haven't you overcome yours?
Well, in reference to anger, I would say it would have to if it comes up, it's going to come through a fleshly nature. So I can look at how my anger 20 years ago is nothing of what it is today. I'm able to sit and look at a perspective through God's eyes instead of my own eyes.
Are you a Christian?
When I look at, I'm sorry?
Are you a Christian?
Yes.
And so why haven't you overcome anger?
Well, I would say that I have overcome it through the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the one that has allowed me to overcome anger.
But you said you have not. You said you have not overcome because you do get angry.
Well, as we walk in our fleshly bodies, I mean, I guess to say anger, like, am I mad about something? I can't say that I'm mad. Like, if you're mad about something, I don't feel that I'm still in the place of, I guess, say hate as I was until I became born of the Spirit of God.
And why haven't you
overcome it?
You said you're a Christian, right? Which means that you're a spirit of God, right? And why haven't you overcome the anger?
Well, I was saying I have overcome the anger.
But you said you still get mad, so you have not overcome.
Well, in regards to if it can even be like a godly mad, like I'm not mad at somebody that's transgender. I'm not mad that America's falling apart. It's that it's still in the God, in my opinion, is saying this is happening to America. Don't be mad. Don't have a selfish mad about it. Have a godly understanding that this all falls into place. Because, you know, people hurt God when they're transgender. They hurt God.
How do they hurt God when they're transgender? They don't hurt God.
Well, in a sense of they're disobedient in following God.
But why do you think God is hurt if human beings don't follow him?
Well, maybe I shouldn't say the word hurt, because he's going to have a wrath against them. He's going to have a hatred and anger towards them.
Why do you say he's going to have a hatred and anger toward them? There is no hatred nor anger in God.
Well, he actually says that his wrath is going to come upon, in Romans 1, the disobedient. It says his wrath.
But why do you say he got to have a hatred and anger against people who don't obey him? He doesn't have. There is no anger in God. There's only love.
Well, in the Bible, it says that you're a vessel of wrath, fitted for destruction.
Because you belong to the devil.
Yes, that's basically, yeah, that's what that verse is saying. But it's saying that God's wrath has got to be shown to those people, and that his power has to be known to those people as well. So
why haven't you overcome anger?
Well, I said that I have through the blood of Jesus.
No, but you say you get angry. If you have overcome, you cannot get angry. And so the blood hasn't helped you yet.
Oh, but I was saying that, yes, I have, because those things of the world don't make me upset or angry.
What makes you angry?
They don't. They don't.
Well, you say you get angry. What makes you angry?
I was saying that the things of the world don't.
But if you say you do get angry, what makes you angry if it's not things of the world?
Well, I was saying that I don't get angry. Like, if something happens,
Nicole,
I'm able to.
Nicole, you said you do get angry. What makes you angry if it's not things of the world? What is it that makes you angry?
I can't say that. I think through the process of God working in me and in each of us as his children, if there's any anger, and I guess I'm assuming if something makes me upset, I can then say, well, God, you can use this to show me that I'm still in my flesh. And then the blood of Jesus, you know, the Holy Spirit then will come in, and then you get the, as the Bible says, the nature of Christ in us.
So what gets you angry if it's not the things of the world?
Well, I can look at my past and say it was just usually selfish things.
Nicole,
and I can look
one
now
more time,
say,
what gets you angry if it's not things of the world? You said you get angry, and yet you say it's not the things of the world. What gets you angry?
Well, I can say now that, you know, not really a lot of things make me angry.
What made you angry?
Well, you're saying you want an example. Like in the past, I would say if I didn't get my, you know, just the selfish nature, how the Bible talks about us wanting something that maybe God doesn't want.
So your selfish nature, gets you angry?
Well, I'm saying in the past I can see that, but today I can see that that's changed, that as God has come into me, I'm able to talk through things and understand perspective and reflect on things where I couldn't do that before.
So what gets you angry now?
There.
What gets you angry now?
I can't say really anything, because I'm able to reflect on, you know, take a pause, look out at what's happening, and, you know, kind of break things down.
Do you have anger in you at all?
I don't see any anger in me that I had before.
Do you have
so
anger
that's the only way I can gauge it.
Do you have anger in you at all?
I don't sense any anger as I did before God, you know, has been working in me.
Do you have any anger at all?
No.
Amazing. So you said you did, and then we went all the way down the road, and now you're saying you don't have anger?
Well, it's not that, and I guess it's the definition of anger, and to say that, can I get upset about things of the world I can't say I get upset. I can look at that and say, you know, I understand that. I understand why a transgender is doing that. Like you said, the devil has come into him. So I'm not going to be mad at him.
Nicole, you said you had anger, and now you're saying you don't after all this?
Well, I just kind of defined what I would call being upset. And so I'm able to, and I guess it's just us clearly defining what anger is, that, you know, I can look at things in a positive way, and it, you know, even something bad to me shouldn't cause anger.
But it
and
does.
I think a lot of times that's what things are happening to people. You can see in the world.
But it does cause anger in you sometimes?
No, not anymore.
Amazing. Nicole, thank you for your call. Amazing. Call me again. I got to take a break, all right?
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now. I got to take a break. 2 more hours to go. Hake is coming in with the Hake news. Not the fake news, but the Hake news. The guy with the good hair? Back in a moment to your phone calls. So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer.
I know some people have called in and they wonder if the silent prayer is working. And I just want to take a second and to tell them that it works. You just have to stick with it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I started doing before I even forgave my parents. And I was so depressed and suicidal at some times that I just would have to stop in the middle of my job or whatever I was doing and go into the silent prayer. And it really does help. Like, I don't have those anymore.
Amazing. You haven't seen anything yet. Doubt every thought. Bring every thought into captivity. Just let them all pass. Don't judge them. You haven't seen anything. It gets better and better and better and easier, easier, easier. So my gift to you, no charge, at rebuildingtheman.com/church.
Leftist terrorists for baby killing. What a mess. And a daily dose of Ukraine propaganda courtesy of Commie Nonsense Network. I'm bringing it to you. And inflation is out of sight. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Monday, May 9th, 2022 AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Stay tuned for hour two. Jesse Lee will be right back. But first, take news, not fake news. Baby killer supporters, Commie Nonsense Network reports, protesters, quote unquote, have been gathering across the so-called United States for several days now to voice their opposition to the possible overturning of Roe v. Wade. Over the weekend, dozens of demonstrators showed up at so-called Supreme Court justices' homes to intimidate and threaten them, specifically Rhino Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Rhino Chief Justice John Roberts, who pretended that unconstitutional Obamacare could pass for a tax and made up so-called same-sex marriage was real. A right? What a mess. And Drudge reports an anti-abortion, also known as pro-life, headquarters, HQ, was hit by a Molotov cocktail and vandalism and graffiti. Wisconsin Family Act.
anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a civil majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated annulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocopic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hello and welcome to Plato's Cave on WZZR, coming to you from Australia for Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. It's home to fresh, relatively uncensored ideas and conversations in the chat room. They are mostly uncensored. And a place to get your merch. The station is not beholden to anyone, but does require your support. Please donate or donate. Please donate tonight. Please donate or subscribe or buy some of that awesome merch on offer. Please. Any form of money will do. Crypto cash, bank checks. Is that still something people do? I don't know. But please donate, because there's no corporation lurking behind this station. Ooh, that rhymes. No corporation lurking behind this station. I like it. But you know, electricity costs money. And it is you, the listeners, that support the station with your donations to keep the lights on, literally, not figuratively, literally. This is show number 58. We've done this 58 times, which means we've done it for around about a half a year, 6 months. 6 months, we're only at 6 months. That's about right, actually. Started this shenanigans in October, and it is now May. So that is 6 months. Now you can catch the cave on air right now, online, right now, on a new smart device. Also right now, or grab an app, you know, you listen on that as well. You can listen at home on a Grace Tabletop Digital Radio. You can also go to the archives, which are free-licious. So you can go ahead and listen to us there. And in fact, the archives are quite substantial, so you can listen to a whole bunch of other shows as well. A whole bunch of hosts with a whole bunch of content. So please feel free to come in there. But I do encourage you all to join the chat. It's really pretty cool. Right? Lady Horse, Crow, One, Navy, HDVO, WHDVO, Omega Logos, Nesomania, Malia, Popsicle Toes, Noreen, Batsman, Festus Speed, Dirt, and many. Sorry, Sunflower, Spread Love, Comet, etc. And Blessing, of course. All right? Mm-hmm. And they're having a lively conversation. Hello, all. And thank you for tuning in on this fine morning, I'm sure. Elsewhere here in Australia, it is evening, night, 9 p.m. That's night. And before I start broadcasting at you in anger, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land. And for me here, it's the Darug people, and I would like to pay my respects to elders, past, present, and future. I haven't been able to raise my good friend Dave at this point. I'll give him one more call. He can join me, but we'll get started, because we talked about crazy salad the other day. It's getting crazier. It really is. If you're listening to The Shiny Side Out, which I hope you are, every Sunday or Saturday night for those in the United States. Pretty late Saturday night, I must say, so you know, you catch a replay or go to the archives. So go to YouTube. You can go to YouTube as well. We've got a YouTube channel. But the point is that we're talking about prophecy. That's right. And so it's something we haven't talked about on The Shiny Side Out for 10 years, 11 years. However long we've done it. I mean, we've touched it, right? We've touched on the subject. We've, you know, skirted it, as it were, but we've never actually devoted a show cycle to prophecy. We've done that now. And what we found when we did the research is that according to Saint Malachi, a Catholic saint, we're living in the days of the last pope, Peter the Roman. And say, oh, hang on. Guy that's the Pope right now, he's not a Roman. Well, his parents are Italian. They're immigrants that went to Argentina. And if you don't know this, Argentine, is an Italian. Well, it's populated largely by Italian immigrants. Whereas Brazil, of course, Portuguese, and most of the rest of South America, Spanish, or you know, Spanish colonialists, including Mexico. So, yeah, Argentinians are largely of Italian descent. But anyway, his parents went to Italy recently, or, you know, to escape the fascists in Italy, which is, you know, the beginning of the 20th century. So he is of Rome, of Italy, if you will. So it is interesting. So he's meant to be the last pope. The last pope. And then with his office, with his reign, as it were, the city on the seven hills, Rome, I guess, would be destroyed. Now, there are other cities on seven hills. Istanbul or Constantinople is a city on seven hills as well. So But I think it's a fair assumption that Saint Malachi was talking about Rome. And he's been pretty accurate in his other predictions for all the other popes that he said would come before the last pope. And he even knew that the pope before this one, Pope Francis, was going to be of the order of the Saint Benedict. Pope Benedict, right? So Pope Benedict, yeah, Pope Benedict was of the order of the Benedictines, and he said that in his prophecy, which I find quite amazing. But yeah, so here we are. The last pope. Enjoy it all. Now, this is affecting the Catholics. It's not the end of the world. I'm not saying it's the end of the world, right? And that's not really what the what St. Malachi is saying either. All he's saying is that he'll be the final pope. Final pope. Interesting. If true. Now, some of these prophecies are quite scarily accurate. If you're tuning in on Sunday, we're going to talk about the Hopi, the nine signs of white feathers prophecies. If you want to tune into that. But let's examine the puppet show that we are all watching every day unfold. I find it amusing when you look at the war in the Ukraine and how we are accusing the Russians of all manner of war crimes. Now, I'm not saying it's a good thing what they're doing. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm against war full stop. Right? It's, I think war is it only serves the parasites. It doesn't serve us. War only serves the parasites. Right? That's why they have so many of them, because they love it. The parasites love to pit us against one another. That's the game. That's what they do. Because there aren't that many of them. Right? But we are here, and cruel one, that's funny. It is clear that this war is going on and on and on. And I'm not entirely sure that Putin has a good way out of it now. But to accuse Putin of these war crimes, right, is disingenuous, like I said before, because the coalition of the willing did the same, if not worse, in Afghanistan and Iraq specifically. Okay, and the number of civilian dead in Iraq is estimated to be a million. A million civilians died in Iraq as a result of the invasion, which was an illegal invasion. Right? Just like the Ukrainian invasion was an illegal invasion by international law, or as far as the UN is concerned, not that that matters at all. So, see, what we're learning with the takeaway here is this. The UN was formed to avoid large-scale conflicts, right? World War One had happened, and they formed the League of Nations. That didn't really work out because the Americans didn't want to be part of it, and then Hitler left, and then the Italians left, and the whole thing just collapsed prior to World War Two. Then World War Two happens, and people say, never again, and they formed the United Nations, right? Headquarters in New York, which I think was a mistake, but, you know, nonetheless, there we are. And they say no more wars. The funny thing is this. All the permanent members of the Security Council, they pretty much do whatever they want. Yeah, we'll have a war. What are you going to do about it? Veto it? And this is the thing. Any of the members of the permanent Security Council, or the permanent members of the Security Council, if they don't like something, they veto it. Yeah, no, we don't like that. Veto. No, well, we don't like that either. Veto. And nothing really substantial ever gets done. I'm not saying the UN doesn't do some good things. Sure they do. But largely, it's completely powerless and pointless to some extent. Because we haven't really been avoiding all of these wars. Right? If you look at the history of the fairly recent history, or at least the history as it presents itself on the cave wall, the Cuban Missile Crisis. There was power play between Khrushchev and Kennedy. Those were the two players. They didn't use the vehicle of the UN. They were directly in contact with each other, speaking directly to each other. And that, you know, for all intents and purposes, probably averted World War III, the way this was handled. You know, Khrushchev blinked, and Kennedy won the day. Good for all of us, I should say. But the UN didn't do anything. Not really. I mean, there might have some diplomacy in the back. Who knows? But, you know, and then you look any other conflict that has sprung up. So we all believe that this UN is this all-powerful institution, blah, blah, blah. Not true. Israelis invaded Palestinian land, right? Illegally, according to the UN. Illegally. You can't do that. You can't claim any more land than you already have. And there we are. They do it anyway. Don't care what the UN says. Right? So completely pointless. Rwanda. Couldn't stop Rwanda. Couldn't stop the war in the Balkans. Didn't stop Chechnya. Didn't stop Vietnam. Didn't stop Korea. Can go on and on and on. Didn't stop Afghanistan. Didn't stop Iraq 1 or 2. Or the invasion of Kuwait for that matter. Right? None of these things. In fact, you know, you can argue that it offered up a veneer of civility to the dealings. Completely pointless, the UN. Completely pointless. Doesn't do terribly much. Once in a while you see UNESCO ads on TV or, you know, UNICEF or help the children, help the poor. We could end world hunger today. Today. That's impossible, Mackie. No, not at all. We could end world hunger today. All we have to do, and this is going to sound extremely communist of me, is to redistribute wealth. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. And these are not the parasites, by the way, these billionaires. They are not the parasites. The parasites you never, ever see. One or two you might know. Right, I'm not going to say anything. Rotes Schild. But for the most part, they're completely hidden. And the people that you think are the richest people in the world is complete nonsense. That's just another shadow thrown up on the wall of the cave. Elon Musk, rich? Yeah, he's rich. He's not the richest man in the world. Not by a long shot. Not by a long shot. We discussed this before. The United States alone is in debt to the tune of trillions of dollars. It's not even meaningful anymore. It doesn't mean anything. You can put as many zeros behind it as you want. Completely pointless, right? But ask yourself, who does the United States owe this money to? It's not Elon Musk. He's not a trillionaire. Elon Musk is not owed trillions of dollars. So who is? Who does the United States owe this money to? Follow the trail. Look at it. Who are the owners of these banks that these money's out to? Who are they? Then you're getting closer to the truth, getting closer to the parasites. Every country on the planet owes these parasites money. They invented the money system, especially the modern money system, the fiat currency that we all have, which in and of itself is completely valueless. There's no value attached to any of the currency we have currently. None. Zero. No gold, no silver, no labor, no other commodity. Right? Nothing. Not oil, nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. It has no intrinsic value. It is only valuable because the government says it is. There it is. Here you go. It's worth whatever I say it is. And then, you know, you got the artificial constructs of inflation and interests and all kinds of wonderful other things, right? So inflation is completely artificial construct. I think Dave might have shared that with you all. Inflation doesn't exist in a healthy economy. Because in a healthy economy, you only have as much currency as you need for the economy to function, right? But in our economy, in our travesty of an economy, global economy, we have something called interest, right? Usury. It's actually a sin to lend money and get interest. Do you know that? You're not allowed to, as good Christians or even good Muslims, you're not allowed to, and good Jews as well, you're not allowed to charge interest on money you lend out. Not allowed to. It's against the word. Right? But we do. We do. And it is this interest, right? This money out of nothing that creates inflation. As well as, then, the added money that the government injects into the economy or the economies. So there are two mechanisms of inflation. One is created by interest. Okay? The higher the interest, usually the higher the inflation, because you're just creating more money in the economy. If interests are low, inflation is usually fairly low, right? But there's another factor here. And the other factor here is how much money the governments of the world decide to inject into the economies. The more money they inject into the economies, the higher the inflation. In Germany and Rwanda and Rhodesia, I guess, not Rwanda, sorry, Rhodesia back in the day, which is now Zimbabwe, there was something that was called a runaway inflation. Runaway inflation. In Germany, my grandmother used to tell me, you would go to the baker in the morning with a suitcase of money and buy a loaf of bread. And then in the afternoon, you would go to the baker with a barrel load of money and buy a loaf of bread. Now, the bread in and of itself hasn't changed. Still the same bread. What has changed is the value of money with which you which you purchase this bread. Because the more money you print in order to purchase whatever you need to purchase, the less value it carries. Okay? And on it goes to the point where it is completely valueless. And you need what is called a monetary or a currency reform. And Germany was one in 1949, I think. Turkey has gone through a few, and other countries have had these currency reforms as well, where they said, okay, that's it. We're going to burn all the old money, and we're going to have new money, and it's going to be worth that. And we're going to only have a limited supply of this money, so we don't suffer from hyper or runaway inflation. That is a fact. This is the truth. But we are living in a world where governments and the parasites create as much money as they like. As much money as they like. The money that is owed today by all the governments, forget America, right, but all the governments of the world will never be paid back. It can't be paid back. It's impossible. You can barely service the interest on the loans that were taken out. This is the biggest racket that everybody's just, I don't know. There's this massive acquiescence. You know, acquiescence in this case is complicity. But most people don't understand this. Most people don't understand the economy or the monetary system or the financial system that we all live in. This is not taught in school, at least not the way it should be. They don't teach it to our children because it would pretty much end the system. You have to ask yourself, what is not being taught in school, right? And those are the things that we should really focus on and teach. Number one, no one is really taught about the monetary system. No one understands it. Even people working in a bank, if you tell them all the things I've just told you, and there's more yet, they just look at you blankly. Okay, but yeah, what's the other thing? Well, the other thing is how our political systems work. Because there are very few people in the world that understands how their specific political system works. It was made convoluted on purpose, right? And nobody wants the voters to understand how they vote and what they vote for how it matters very little how they vote. Nobody wants them to know that. That's not good. Our children aren't being taught basic survival skills. And by that I mean they aren't taught to cook. Most schools anyway. Right? They're not being taught to cook. They're not being taught to hunt or forage or farm for that matter. In some countries in the world, it is now illegal to gather rainwater. It's illegal to gather rainwater on your property. It's falling from the sky. What? That's just insane. But nonetheless, there it is. So our children aren't being taught how to be self-sufficient in this world. They're being taught how to be little cogs in the machine. Little cogs that go up and down as the machine moves, you know, do their own thing and off they go. La, 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 la. And all of us are, of course, also cogs in that machine for the most part, right? Not all of us. You know, some of you, I'm sure, are living off grid, which is awesome. My head goes off to you. I'm working on that. Not quite there yet. If you wanted to, you could, I guess. It's getting harder, though. It's getting a lot harder, right? It's getting a lot harder. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, you teach your children, right, all these skills. My grandfather taught me how to shoot when I was, like, I think 6 or 7 years old. I told you the story before, so I won't bore you. right? Because he had guns at home, and he was a forester, and he believed in gun safety. He believed, you know, if you have guns around, you have to teach everybody how to use them. Respect the gun. Respect the gun. Right? And so I can shoot. I can shoot. I'm not an avid shooter. I don't have any guns myself, right? But I can shoot if I have to. Right? I can hunt if I have to. I'm not a very good fisherman. I'm really hopeless. But I have that skill. If you know, push came to shove, I could fish. I'm not much of a gardener, but again, I know the principles of gardening, and I know the crops that are relatively easy to grow, like potatoes, for example. Right, that's a really easy crop. If you're looking for a crop to grow easy in your backyard, that's what you should grow. Good calories there as well. Get a good hardy potato variety, and you know, get it going there. Not really much of a pet person, but you know, again, understand the rudimentary concepts of livestock holding. Not massive livestock, right? And again, they're probably the easiest livestock to hold are pig or pigs, because they eat anything, pretty much. And so they're not very, they're quite robust, depending on the breed. So you don't have to spend too much time caring for them. Cows, I don't know, sheep, that's a lot of work. Chickens, that's easy enough, right? Especially if you're living somewhere where you can let them run around and live freely away from the city and diseases, et cetera, and then, you know, I mean, you know, you have to be careful and cook all your food and all that. Yeah, sure you do. Sure you do, right? But again, how many of us, and this is an honest question, right? And it's not judgment here, but how many of us would be vegetarians if they had to kill their own meat and prepare it and whatever? I mean, not cooking it. I mean, cooking, I'm pretty sure most of all of us, you know, we can cook our meat. All it takes is an open flame, really, right? But what if you had to kill your own meat? What would you do then? Would you be able to do that? Because now we've moved away from the cave wall. Now we're living in the real world, right? All of a sudden. So we're no longer looking at the shadows on the cave wall here. We are talking about real life. We're not chit-chatting. You know, we're getting to the nitty-gritty here. Right, we're getting to discover each other. What are our survival skills? There's some really excellent TV shows on as of late. Alone, I think they're called Alone or something or other, where they put these people into these fairly inhospitable environments all over the world, and just them, no camera crew, and well, can you make it? Can you survive? What skills do you have to survive? Right, most city dwellers have no skills. There's no skill at all. Zero skills. Okay, wouldn't know what to do, and that's why I believe the cities, when the chips are down, the cities will eat themselves. The cities will completely disintegrate. The larger cities, right? Not all cities, but the larger cities. I have no hope at all for people in the larger cities. I have a lot of hope for people in small rural communities, right? Farm folk, livestock holders. Right. If they can keep the city folk out of their area, they should be okay. If they can keep them, because there will be roving, you know, bandits. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, societal collapse now, right? I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying if it were to happen, where do you stand? What do you know? What do you contribute? Do you play an instrument? Because man doesn't live by bread alone. And that's the old saying goes, right? Because people want entertainment. Are you a storyteller? Can you tell stories? I'm a great storyteller, right? Well, at least I think I am. I've got stories. I make up stories, so I've got many stories in my repertoire I can read to people. I've got books coming out of my proverbial, right? I've got thousands of books here in my study. And I've read thousands of books. I've got many stories in my brain. I could, you know, I could be a storyteller around the campfire, as it were. You know, you make up stories too, or play the instrument. I know we went to my my auntie's 80th birthday 10 years ago. She's still alive, so she's 90 now, as you can surmise. And my wife doesn't speak German; she speaks English. That's it. And but it was in Germany, so my auntie's in Germany. So we went there. This was a village completely cut off from civilization. There wasn't a train that went there. There wasn't a bus that went there. There was one taxi cab that serviced three of those villages in the vicinity, and then we had the good fortune of catching one at a train station in a town quite a distance away. But nonetheless, this is where she lived and where her birthday was, and a lot of her children were there, grandchildren, etc. There's like probably 30-odd people, I want to say, maybe, something like that. And, well, a great dinner. Food was fantastic. And then there was no entertainment. The radio player or whatever was on the fritz. And my wife plays the piano. She plays other instruments as well. And that was enough. So she went on the piano, and then a couple of my cousins started singing with her. And hey presto. That was awesome, right? But my point is, there are skills that some of us have, that most of us should have, that are going to be sought after, right? And then again, it's not just the ability to hunt and dress meat, but all the other finer points of civilization, right? Can you sing? What's your singing voice like, right? Do you play an instrument? Are you a storyteller, like I said? Maybe you've got some skills as an engineer or mechanic, or you've got skills, you understand how electricity can be produced. Whatever it might be, right? Or are you one of those people that actually has no skills whatsoever, and it truly is just a cog in the machine? No hobbies, no interest whatsoever. That's the question here, right? I mean, and ultimately, we all need to be prepared to do more than whatever we do for a living. I mean, look at us. Most of us are going to offices, maybe, or we're in the services industry. Hey, Dave, how are you, buddy?
I'm alive.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I had to pick up my daughter from Scouts.
Oh, good man. See, that's another thing. Scouts, that's a brilliant institution. Teaches you a lot about a lot. In fact, this is what Scouts teach you is all completely useful information. Right?
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
And yet, how many of us send our kids to the Scouts? Or to martial arts? Or to music lessons? Or whatever, right? To give them some skills, swimming. Give them skills that are useful in their life. Not how to play Nintendo or browse the internet. That's not a skill in life that you need. You know, I mean, you have to, it's not like
Fortnite.
Oh my God. You know, so it is really important to understand what is being taught in school and what is not. And then you have to ask yourself, why don't they teach these? So the way we got onto this.
Oh, was, no, I'm working it out slowly.
Okay, I started talking about the puppet show, right? And then you have to ask yourself, what is it that we don't teach our children in school? Right? All these things. And I talked about the monetary system and how it actually works, how the voting system and the political system, how it all works. But then also the life skills that we're no longer being taught in school for the most part, right? Even like cooking. I mean, I don't know if there are many home economics classes left. But even art, like let your kids express themselves in dance, in painting, in sculpture, in I don't know, whatever, music, right? Whatever have you. Because those are skills that uplift us.
You need them in a community.
Yeah.
So when you have a small community, each one of these subsets of life need to be, what's the best word, utilized or exhibited in your small community.
Completely.
Now, because otherwise they'll be forgotten.
Completely. But see, this is about quality of life as well, right? Because right now we are mostly consumers of all these things. We consume them and you know, we let them wash. I remember my father, he was sitting in the lounge room watching TV. I said, what are you watching? I don't know. I pictured the TV like a great ocean that was just washing over him. So, you know, he was just bathed in the light of TV and it was washing over him. And he was just enjoying that sensation of having the waves crash against his body.
Warm, loving glow.
That's it. Whereas, clearly, you know, if you're a contributor, a content creator, and this is what Dave and I do here, right? Then that's great because you're adding something, right? Even if it's just an opinion that can be debated, or maybe it's just a thought that you put in someone's head that they didn't have before, and they're now thinking that thought. Okay, it's important that we keep this skills. There's a fantastic show on television, two now really. It was called Little Cottage.
Little Cottage, yes.
Escape to Little Cottage or whatever it's called, right? And essentially it was this English chef from London who decided I'm gonna see if I can live off the land. I want to see if I can be a freeholder. So he goes and he rents himself a little cottage, right, in the countryside. Beautiful, in England. And then he explores what he can do. And this, he's still doing it. He decided that's now his life, right? Or many years ago. And what he did though, he didn't just, you know, raise pigs and chickens or whatever, or start a restaurant.
No, that's right.
He became an active member of the community. Because in the community, there were people that were making cider. There were people that were experts on chickens, and he got his mm-hmm. potato expert. He had his tomato expert, and all these people in the community, they helped each other to become better than what they
and
were.
He had to find his niche.
Yeah. The River Cottage, that's what it's called. Escape to River Cottage.
I remember when he was reminiscing about the things that he used to eat and decided he was going to make cornflakes.
Yeah.
And instant coffee.
Yeah.
He wanted to see how hard it was to do that with what little he had. And he made cornflakes pretty easily.
Yeah. Well, that's
pretty good.
See, this is really the thing. So let's transpose that onto your life, everybody, right? So I'm not expecting everybody to go out in, you know, a little river cottage and live the life of the smallholder. No, but can you bake? Are you a bit of a chef, maybe? And the thing is this, right? Well, once you do that for yourself, once you cook for your family, and I do this a lot, or you bake, and I know Dave and his wife do this mm-hmm. as well. And in fact, Dave's wife is a chef. You're a lot more critical in the food that you eat out. it's true, and you know what it takes. So I love slow food, and I love food that will take a long time to prepare. So I take the really cheap cuts. Well, not so cheap anymore, but beef cheek, for example, or oxtail, which you really have to cook for 8 to 10 hours before it becomes palatable. But once you have done that in the right way, it is a revelation, right?
And I smoke and slow cook meats.
Yeah.
And also smoked cheese.
Oh, that's nice.
And you've got to do a cold smoke for that. Otherwise, it just ends up a big blob.
Oh, look, I've got cheese juice, smoking cheese juice. But see, and
that's, they're all good. They're good talents to have because they're low-fi.
Completely. And let's say one day, you know, chips are down and, mm-hmm. and let's say you lose your job or whatever, right? Having any of those skills will allow you to maintain maybe a humble, modest income somewhere. It could be short of a cook. You could be playing music somewhere. You could be a painter. But the point here is I hope that your life doesn't end or begin and end in the office or the factory.
Yeah.
I do hope that you have skills, talents, interests, even if it's just an interest, right? And this is a really interesting thing that Kurt Vonnegut Jr. said. Kurt Vonnegut Jr. was like 13 or 12 or whatever, and he was helping out in an archaeological dig. He was really fascinated by it, right? And one of the archaeologists asked him, well, so what do you do? I said, I do drama at school singing and et cetera, like a whole bunch of stuff, like artistic things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the archaeologist goes, oh, well, that's awesome that you do these things. And Kurt, he's the author that wrote Slaughterhouse-5, in case you're wondering who I'm talking about. And Kurt said, young child that he was, well, I'm not good at any of these. And you know what the archaeologist said to him? This is the thing that really blew his mind, because no one had ever told him that this was the case. He was like, as a 12 or 13 years old. But the archaeologist said, it's not about how good you are at these things. It's about the experiences you have.
Mm.
It's about the joy of maybe seeing or knowing something that you didn't know or see before. If you're not good at it, that's okay, but you've just experienced it. And this is really something that is lost now I feel with many of our children in the schools that we visit, where the experience is replaced by the rote learning of whatever subject matter there is.
The great equalization, Mickey.
Yeah. And the funny thing is this, we're all different, right? Which then also would mean really, I think, that our children are all different, requiring different approaches to mm-hmm. learning. For the longest time, Dave, you know this, for the longest time.
Oh, I know this one.
Children that were, I guess what you would call dyslexic or had other similar learning difficulties. And there are actually quite a few of those. They were just branded stupid. Oh, you're just stupid.
Well, they fell by the wayside because there wasn't a teaching method that allowed them to learn.
Yeah. Now, this is, I have to say, for modern education, that we have addressed this to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's great. But I fear that we have lost much other or many other insights along the way, right? So you can now be fairly comforted by the thought that your child, if it has learning difficulties, will find help. But
I'm a visual learner, Mickey, and I know just how tough it was. When they're just teaching you via the rote method. Write and repeat.
I'm an experiential learner. So unless I do it, I don't learn it.
Yeah.
That's and in school, you don't get the chance to do very many things. You got 30 or 40 kids in the class. Right?
That's true.
So,
when you're learning from textbooks that were reprinted in 1952.
Oh my God, yeah.
This
rock was split by Moses. Okay. It's the Moses rock.
When you were saying this originally, talking about all these talents and like the skills and things you should learn and life experience, I was equating everything you said into a post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, me too.
Reboot of a community in your area.
Yeah. And that's
but bringing these talents together and being able to establish a new way of life. Hopefully you've got a mixture of talents in your region or, you know, you're willing to accept people from outside of your area, for whatever that means. But you know, it's valid within this current existence that we have.
Oh,
we should do this. We should expand what we know.
Completely. Now, we're very fortunate, and I'm sure, Dave, you're similar, but my wife's family is quite extensive, and friends and family make up a very large group of people, which we get together with on a fairly regular basis. It's a varied community of people, and they're living all fairly close to each other. It's not, you know, like we're living in each other's pockets, but it is a nice thing for our kids to grow up and to have that sort of family and friends kind of closeness, right? A certain certainty, apart from school and any other activities they might undertake, they know there's this group of people here, right?
And on Linda's side, certainly, that they share that very strongly.
Right? And I think that's awesome. Most of my family is overseas. I've only got my mother and my brother in Australia.
There's very few of mine left.
That's, you know, so, but it's great, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, I love that my kids have this opportunity to socialize. And then there's also a temple that my family goes to, Taos Temple, and, and the community that's built around that, which my kids also mingle with, which is brilliant. So you have communities that you need, because I mean, unless you're just really alone, like if you're a loner, that's okay, I get it, right? And then you probably don't have a family, you only have to look after yourself. Your chance of survival are probably pretty good if you really only have yourself to worry about, and you have the skills to survive. If those things come together, I think you're going to be just fine, right? But obviously, if you have a family or dependents of any kind, and I count the furry kind here as well, or scaly or feathery.
It ramps up the difficulty.
Well, it does. It does. And you need to think bigger than
yourself. There's a threshold of a community size where...
Oh, yeah. Completely.
You know, like with 20 people or so, where the effort then starts to reduce with more free time.
That's it. And it's nice to be part of a community, of a functioning community that is not too large. Because if you make it too big, right, power plays will start.
Yeah.
During it. Politics will become obvious. And people, you know, I guess fighting for position and rank.
There's a lot to learn from native peoples, Mickey.
Yeah. Oh, look, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's with most native peoples, it's a natural progression of authority. It's usually the elders, because they just know more, right? So they respect, even if they're not in charge, you know, they might not be in charge per se, but they're certainly listened to and respected in that sense.
Even rats do that.
Yeah, because it makes sense. And rats are quite a successful organism. Let's remember that here, shall we? But you know, we have moved so far away from our natural way of living that I fear for most of us the journey back is just going to be too hard. I hope not. I do hope that we will be able to recapture some of this, right? And we should make an effort now. Make an effort now. I mean, you know, reconnect with your community. Maybe go to the community center if you don't have a family or a large group of friends. That's okay, right? But maybe you could volunteer if you're young and able, you know, at a center to help other people. Maybe. I'm just saying, right?
Mm.
Just reach out to the elderly in your community, right? That's one thing my daughter's school did really well. They have excursion, not incursion, where they visit the local old people's home, mm-hmm. if you will, right? And it's also important because a lot of kids don't necessarily have grandparents, and being confronted with age and old age is, I think, a very important part of growing up, understanding the stages of life, et cetera, right? So
the elderly have much more patience for young children.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And they benefit tremendously from having that contact.
Yeah, absolutely, completely. And this is the feeling of still having validity, of still having, you know, some kind of currency in society, mattering. You know, do you still matter? Are you still relevant?
Mm.
Right, and we are taking this away from the elderly. In we're taking it away in truckloads. I mean,
well, we were taught not to have multi-generational housing.
Yeah, I know. I recently watched a documentary by Anthony Bourdain, one of my favorite, if not the most. Actually, him and Michael Palin.
Bourdain, yeah.
He and Michael Palin are my two favorite world travelers, but. But Anthony Bourdain happened to be in Malaysia, and he was in Malaysia in this particular village 10 years prior, and this was one of the last few things he did before he passed.
Mm-hmm.
He went to this village, and the village is one of the eldest or the oldest Malaysian tribes in existence, right? A really ancient kind of tribe. Asian, of course, but they live in longhouses. And there's like 20 families that live in this longhouse, and it's a long house. Mm-hmm. And when they have a celebration, this celebration goes for days and everybody's involved and it's sort of a never ending party for a few days, right? And he came for that. There's food and drink and lots of drink. and they still have, you know, traditional tattoos all over their body as well. Very interesting. They're very similar to, in fact, some of the South American or even African tribes that also live in similar longhouses or housing arrangements, which is just safer and nicer because your entire extended family is there, right? Where your kids, who cares? They're just somewhere here. They're fine. They're safe. They're playing, right? This is a war you just don't have in that kind of society. You just don't worry. Your kid is here, well, somewhere, right? Playing with the other kids. It's our longhouse. What do you expect? We know everybody in the village. There might be another few longhouses, right? But ultimately, there is no stranger danger per se. Right? Is it idyllic? Is it perfect? No, of course it is not. Of course it isn't. But it is pretty darn close. Okay? And that kind of way of life where we all pull together and you know, as the longhouse would, and then as a consequence, the village of longhouses would, and on it goes, right? As Dave said, that once you reach a critical mass, it all falls apart. It all falls apart. We were not designed. Human beings were not designed to live in large kettle-like structures.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're not. We are designed to live in small communities because that's when we are at our best. We are at our best in small communities. Right? Is everybody equally given the chance to express themselves? No. No, and you know, I mean, life is inherently unfair. But if I had the choice of living in a small community like this, or living in a 1,000 apartment block, right? I know I would prefer the smaller village.
I would die inside, Mickey.
But that's what's happening though. People are dying. And in fact, literally, they're dying inside, and then they're not found for weeks. You know when they're found? Either when the mail piles up, or when there is the smell that's starting to bother the neighbors. That's when people are found. This is truly, it's truly sad. It's a sad state of affairs that we would have people that so completely disappear from our radar that they could die and no one would even notice.
Right, because partly we live anonymously.
Yeah.
Not many people know their neighbors. Five neighbors away.
That's right.
Very, very few. And if you do know them, you probably know of them, but you don't talk.
Yeah. Unless your kids play, in which case you start talking to each other. Now, an interesting thing is this, and there's a good reason for that.
We have a street party where I live every year, and everyone gets together.
That is a good thing. Right? I've tried to organize it here. I haven't been successful yet. But the thing is this. The reason, so in a village where everybody, let's say everybody lives in this village and works in this village, right, whatever they do, they would know each other and talk to each other because that's what they do. But we do not live like that. Even if you live in a community, and I live in another gated community, but
no, it's okay.
But it might as well be, right? Because it doesn't have any through roads, and you only drive into it if you live here, really.
That's right.
It's no shortcut. But the thing is, I don't work here. I spend most of my day, I mean, maybe not now because you're working from home, but even then you don't go outside to talk to people, right?
No.
But before I would go to the office, I would travel internationally a lot. Every month I would travel for a week or two, at least. So I would be away half the year. Now, my wife, of course, she knows all the neighbors, or most of them, and because she's also taught the kids piano here around the neighborhood. So she's much better connected than I am, which is awesome. But the reason we don't connect, really, even in these scenarios, is because we don't work in the same place that we live. And that was also by design. These industrial parks, the CBDs, you know, the factories, where you actually, you know, you go to a place to work, and it takes you away from your neighborhood, potentially, right? That wasn't a coincidence, right? Let's get the people out of the village into the city, and then, you know, once they're in the city, let's make sure that they don't really know anyone in the neighborhood. Hurrah!
Well, look, dividing the people so they don't communicate is a pretty good defense if you're afraid of them.
Well, and that's really where we are, right? This is how it sort of started as well with the parasites, right?
Yeah.
And I explained to everybody, and then we went to the monetary system, I explained to everybody that chances are that they don't know who these parasites are, because it's not the billionaires that you see, it's not.
No.
Because the question I started this whole thing with was, who do you think are the people that are owed all these trillions of dollars? Because
that's true.
Elon Musk is a billionaire, and what's his name, the other guy, and the other, and Gates, and they're all billionaires.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bezos, that's the one. They're all billionaires. Good for them. You know, billionaire and wonderful. No. So the people that are the parasites, the ones that are truly in charge, the trillionaires, they're owed trillions of dollars. I mean, if you owe trillions of dollars, it stands to reason that you have trillions of dollars, right? And you have to ask yourself, like I said at the beginning, who are the people that our governments owe this money to? Who are they?
Well, that's absolutely right. Yeah, good question. Because we don't know.
No one asked this question. Everybody just, it's national debt. That, yeah, well, a debt has got two components. A debtor
and a debtee.
That's right. Right? You don't owe this money to the ether, right? You owe it to someone.
And remember, the central banks are private.
Private.
Think about that for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes.
That's it. Yeah. Come on. Look,
in the earlier days, there were some big names attached to those central banks or banking and people who had a lot of that wealth. And I'm not going to name them, but who are they now? Mackie, today, just tonight, I'll just say this quick piece and I'll hand it back to you. I was watching an interview with an American senator from Congress, clearly.
Yeah.
And he was talking about a layer of government that is beyond the voting system. Now, here in Australia and in England, in the Westminster system, we have public servants who are, they don't change when the government changes. They're still in place. And so there are groups of those people that control everything regardless of who is voted in. That's the easy way to describe it to you. And this senator said exactly the same thing.
Oh, really?
The interview was yesterday. I'll send Mickey a copy of this so we can chat about it another time. But it was extraordinary to hear him talking about it. It's that government within the government that never changes. These are the people who actually govern what's going on.
Yeah.
And they're the true decision makers. It isn't all the other stuff is frivolous.
Mm.
All the stuff that we vote for that they carry on about in election time. It means nothing. The actual direction of the country is driven by these other people.
Yeah, the establishment.
Yeah, the government within a government, if you want to think about it like that.
Oh, completely.
And they're not elected officials.
Nope.
At all.
Nope.
So, Mackie, the one thing that I say in your response immediately when I say we live in a democracy.
Sure you do.
Sure you do, that's right.
Good for you.
Good for you for thinking that. That's right. Where only the facade of the government changes, but really the motive behind what they're doing and what they've always done and what they're going to do outside of the frivolous, you know, swapping the deck chairs around
mm-hmm.
makes no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Every country in the world right now has inflation. And they're all complaining about it independently of each other.
Yeah, I spoke about inflation and the illusory nature of it.
So it's hilarious. We're all going, looking to our own governments, going, well, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And it can't only be fuel. Because everyone's kind of blaming fuel. And but the whole drive to increase these rates that we have is a global thing. No, everyone wants to invest money and get the banks back rolling with their high interest rates and good returns. And now everyone's pulling money out of the stock market, so they're getting ready to pop it into the banks when these interest rates get high enough.
There's that.
That's one aspect. It's a simple vector, Mickey. Well, I'm handing the stick back to you.
No, but this is it's a fair point, right? I mean, the thing is this, now what I see in the news headlines of the official news is that we're going to face global food shortages. You know why?
And it's going to be a recession and then a depression.
Yeah, because the missiles are starting to hit Odessa. It's a Ukrainian port city.
That's right.
Now,
they're landlocked now.
But why would there be global food shortages if Odessa is being hit by...
Clearly, Becky, every single grain of wheat that anyone buys anywhere on the entire globe goes through the Ukraine. Clearly.
What that's what happens. Clearly, that's the case.
Every single one. Every single grain. Every grain of rice, every slice of pork, every single chicken, everything.
Yeah.
It all goes through there, clearly.
Yeah, I did not, but now I still don't know that, no.
I stand non-enlightened.
So
1 minute.
It's there are a few countries that are dependent on the Ukraine, right? Egypt, Indonesia, Bangladesh, they're big ones. Turkey.
The Sri Lankan leader resigned.
Yeah, one of them. His brother didn't.
They're waiting for the other.
Hey, everybody, don't go anywhere. This is the end of the cave. But Mitchell's Bob with the best yeehaw in the business is coming to entertain you in the morning, right? And this has been the cave. I hope you enjoyed it. But most of all, be safe.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious. You're so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
In the morning
at Revolution Radio freedomslips.com.
Good morning, everybody. We are live on Studio A with everybody's favorite politically incorrect host, Mitchell Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, hello. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are truly witnessing the evolution of revolution. That everybody just kind of follows along in a docile manner. I knew something was wrong.
Okay, now it's time for the regressive establishment's worst nightmare. And the world's most dangerous radio host. Tell them how you feel, Mitchell.
And it's time for the Revolution in the Morning show, streaming live from Franklin County, Virginia. I'm your host, Mitchell Buck. Welcome to this evolution of the revolution here on listener-supported and commercial-free Revolution Radio. So come on down and join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. We're streaming around the world on iTunes, talkstreamlive.com, TuneIn, Shoutcast, Winamp. Just a few of the streaming services that carry Revolution Radio. You can call in and listen live to the show. Listen live, 518-906-1839. You got that? You can call in and listen. 518-906-1839 to catch Studio A. 518-906-1839 to listen to Studio A. To catch Studio B, 518-906-1839. I missed yesterday, and I'm probably going to be sporadic through the week till Friday. For the simple fact that we had a double lightning strike right here, beside the house, between my house and my neighbor's house. And, my modem is fried. His modem is fried. We're just really lucky that there was not any other damage except a blown, light bulb in 6 feet over my head. Yes, Friday afternoon, a big storms were moving through, our area here in Southern Virginia. And, let's just say I'm in a room that's, basically a pantry type room with one window. And, I swear I saw sparks fly across the room laterally, horizontal to the ground. And my light bulb goes poof, and our internet was gone. Anyway, so the modem was fried. Now, I had tech out check the line yesterday to make sure, because, well, I wasn't sure what happened, because the modem appeared to be working everything but the DSL function of the modem. So anyway. So got a new modem that's on the way. It'll be here Thursday. So tomorrow might be a wash. I'm using my phone or a phone, and the data plan isn't so great. So I'm praying that we can get through the next few days with enough data plan to use this phone and get you some news and information. In all honesty, I was thinking about taking a vacation, trying to kind of relax and wind down and then get ready to kick back into it on Friday. But I have some other things I've got to do. And, you know, kind of they're all the Trump assassination files tonight, 8 to 10 p.m. Get more news and information about the political attempted assassination, you know, using a political rumor mill and indictments from a corrupt federal government. Yeah. Look, if Donald Trump is not safe, if Donald Trump can be, run up a rig, run up a rail, illegally by dishonest government officials at the FBI, the NSA, the CIA, let's see, the Obama White House, just to name a few of the bastards that are treasonous. The real treason and sedition happened in 2016, 2017, 2018, 1920, and of course with the 2020 overthrow of the election. Now, I'm kind of really disappointed this morning just because I was going to try to have Greg, the guy from True the Vote,
one of their researchers on. His name's, I'm embarrassed because I can't remember his last name. I was going to have him on at 9 o'clock. And, because of everything, because of all that, and using the limited capabilities that I have right here, with my smarty phone, I am going to, you know, try to delay that, how should we say it? I'm going to delay that interview. Now, you should be aware that, 2000 Mules, the movie by Dinesh D'Souza with, True the Vote, they went around the country and they purchased cell phone data, the pings that you get, right? When you go to a certain place, they purchased 4 trillion pings, I believe is what was said. 4 trillion. That's like with a T. And, so they took that data and they cross-referenced that data with nonprofit organizations. And what they found was nonprofit organizations, were stuffing ballot boxes illegally. Every vote that is outside the legal voting apparatus is a constitutionally invalid vote. I think that's the best way to put it. That's what Robert Barnes said. If you get a chance, go listen to Robert Barnes and Viva Fry. Go join their locals channel. You get some really good inside stuff there from Robert Barnes and Viva Fry. But the truth is the votes weren't legally cast. Period. End of story. Now, maybe the nonprofit has 300, nonprofits have 300,000 power of attorneys. But we know that's not the case, okay? We know, for example, in Minnesota, there has been an investigation going on, and they're finding that people that are incompetent, that have Alzheimer's and dementia, that have serious mental incapacities, have been registered to vote and have been voting straight Democrat. Of course, it's nothing but ballot harvesting before the dead. Yeah, that's, you know, anyway, so True the Vote. To their credit, man, they did a hell of a job. I watched the video. Somebody sent me a link and there was a, it's now, from what I understand, the movie is now kind of free and that, people can watch it for free. And, but you can also get a lot of good news and information from the website, Dinesh D'Souza's, locals page, locals.com and Rumble. I believe Rumble is one of the places that is playing, 2000 Mules. My advice is that you should go see it because I believe everybody has this instinctive feeling that there was something desperately wrong in 2020 with the election. It really, truly is a travesty that we have seen on the election. Anyway, so don't forget revolutionradiofreedomslips.com. Listener supported, commercial free. Let's see. We get news and information that the media will not tell you. Did you know that the National Institutes of Health over the last 10 years has received $350 million in secret payments to Fauci, to Collins, and to others at the National Institutes of Health. Remember, the United States government is funding the National Institutes of Health, okay? They have, how should we say it? The National Institutes of Health operated essentially on U.S. taxpayer money, is operating as a private corporation, and that the so-called inventions, the therapies, and other things that are developed by scientists are receiving undisclosed royalties because they are listed along with the National Institutes of Health as the inventor of therapies and other things. And then these products are then taken and licensed to the pharmaceutical industry. There is nothing independent about the National Institutes of Health, who is essentially in partnership with the big pharma. Now, personally, after this COVID bullshit, and it's strictly bullshit, okay? Look, folks, don't get the jab. Don't get the jab. Please, whatever you do, don't let them shoot that shit in your veins. And if you got the first jab, the second jab, oh, and then you needed a booster. Then you needed a booster to boost your booster. At what point are you willing to admit to yourself, this shit doesn't effing work? How can it work? People are triple shot. So now Pfizer has their Paxlovid, or somehow, I think that's how you pronounce it, Paxlovid pill. Oh yeah, that's the go-to thing for the COVID idiots, for the mental retards that believe better living through gene therapy, better living through chemistry. Man, that sounds like the 1980s again all over, when I was pretty much on everything but roller skates. Shit. I would say, I know I learned. Look, you can take all the drugs you want, you know, whether they're legal or illegal. But in the end, you still you, and in the end, you still got to deal with the shit, because you can treat symptoms, but you can't treat many of the diseases, right? Absolutely. But many of the diseases are caused by the shit that they're trying to pharmaceutical inject you with. Dr. Fauci and the National Institutes of Health and Collins, this funding of the bat virus. And I should say, I can't play my song, but I was right again. I was right again. Oh my God. Oh my God. I just realized it. I have said that the dingbat woman in China, the scientist, right? I have said that she herself is patient zero. Why do I say that? Because she got bit by these bats that they infected and the other shit that was in the lab, okay? She got the flu-like symptoms. She got a fever. You know, she got nauseated, her sinuses run, she got a sore throat, you know, and she checked herself in. And then what I believe is, after X number of days, her fever broke, and because the traditional belief that, You know, when you have this cold flu virus, right? When your body has a fever, that means that you're actively infective, okay? Means you can really spread it, okay? So you can infect other people. When you have a fever, that's the traditional thinking I grew up with. If they engineered this spike protein bullshit in a lab, and then she got infected with it, and using the knowledge at the time that the COVID Wuhan flu engineered virus was similar to other natural viruses where it would not spread once the body fever broke, right? But that's not the case. And we know that's not the case. So what they did was they engineered a virus that it will linger in the body even after the fever, you know, and the power of your immune system broke the virus and was combating it. We also know that the National Institutes of Health, the CDC, the Food and Drug Administration, Dr. Fauci, and all the rest of the scumbags, that they lied about natural immunity. They also lied about the vaccine and the efficiency and the efficacy of that vaccine. That the Pfizer vaccine with the original one shot that was said to be designed for was only 12% effective. That's right. I said it. 12% effective. What that really means, ladies and gentlemen, is that the entire COVID Pfizer vaccine is a complete fraud. In fact, if you're not aware, and you probably should be, there is a major lawsuit, I believe of price of $2 billion lawsuit, going on right now against Pfizer or Moderna. I think it's Pfizer. Because of the clinical trials that were supposed to be run were I don't know how to describe it. It was like the wild, wild west of, you know, chemistry 101. I mean, that's really what it seemed to be like. Protocols were, how should we say it, were disregarded. Okay. Pregnant women, right? Pregnancy. Pregnant women. You know, there's a special place in hell for these bastards. I'm going to tell you that right now. And if you're a medical professional and you're following this shit and you're watching what's happening in your facility and from the treatment protocols that they are using to kill people that essentially they believe have COVID, and you don't even really have to have COVID. The only thing you have to have is a high enough viral load so they can run a PCR test and take the bits and pieces of all types of corona style viruses and try to say you're positive. It's absolute lunacy. The other piece of all this, in the heart of all of this, is the biggest troubling thing to me. Is that the mRNA vaccine that they injected into so many willing guinea pigs, that it actually switches off parts of your immune system using HIV, a sequence of genetic sequence that was cut out of an HIV virus. They use that to shut off your immune system, so you will not have an immune response to the mRNA therapy, gene therapy, that has essentially led to the death of every test subject and test animal before you. That's what you have looking at it, okay? I wish it wasn't true, because my sister got vaxxed. My brother-in-law got vaxxed after he had COVID. He even survived resmidvir. Yeah, you know, what was it? 98%, that's if they intube you. 98% of the people die. Hey, did you ever think that when you sedate the body while it's trying to fight a disease, if you shut the body down and suppress it, the poor bastard's gonna die? That's just makes sense, okay? And, you know, resmedvir blowing out the kidneys and then blowing out the lungs and, yeah. And then they convinced him, they pressured him into taking the jab. And to this day, every time I go up to the VA hospital, I look at those doctors and say, I saved my life. I did not come here when I had COVID. When I was super sick. Now, I may have been lucky. But what I do know is that the mass psychosis, the paranoia that people have developed over COVID, it's so far over the top. The guy that came here to work on the internet yesterday, great guy. You know, he says it's crazy. He said he actually has had people that would not let them walk in their front yard from the street without gloves and a mask. It's madness. It's government-sponsored madness. And this psychosis of paranoia and fear is just starting to get going. And here's the other thing. When the government fails its responsibilities, it fails everyone. When the government is not held to the Constitution, it is a threat to the liberty and the freedom every person in the world, not just these United States. Remember, you can change the world. But first, you have to recognize the problem. Democrats and Republicans. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Revolution. Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's the Revolution in the Morning show, running late here, late on news and information. So you'll hear me a little editorialize a little more in all honesty. But yeah, let's get back to some news and information that you can use, not the mainstream mind control that they shove in your brain from ABC, NBC, CBS, and fake Fox News. You know, the mockingbird media is real. They're the propagandists of the 21st century. That's what we're living in with. That's what we're living under when our government is essentially, how should I say it, developing disinformation governance boards. In other words, you know, a ministry of truth by any other name. And this dingbat, and I said dingbat. Yes, the dingbat in charge of the, how should we say it, the American Ministry of Truth, this Nina Jankowicz, right? I mean, look, she is nothing but disinformation. Hell, if there was, if there was a thing, she could probably win Miss Propaganda. Of course, her singing needs a hell of a lot to be, to be determined, I guess, you know. What else we got going on here? Oh, the stock market. That's right. If you're not aware, the stock market is just puking. That's right. It's just puking. Remember, it's all paper made up money anyway, that the valuations of these companies, their market caps and such, you know, they keep printing more stock and, to fund the company and, you know, say to make the pie bigger. But in the end, what do they really do? In the end, what the companies, what companies have done is to dilute their stock market, their stock, and how should I say it? So they could rake in billions of dollars, and none of these corporations are effectively even worth it. Okay, period. End of story. And if you're an American, if you call yourself an American corporation and your ass has factories in China, you're not an American corporation. You know, you're a Chinese corporation. I think that's what you should understand. You know, Tesla, right? Good old Elon Musk. After all, Elon Musk is a South African by birth. His mother is white. His father is black, if you didn't know. Tesla has a factory in, I believe, Shanghai in China. And, now that factory, they let people in to work now, and people have been working, but now they won't let the people out of the Tesla factory. That's right. Tesla employees in China are battling guards. They're battling security police and regular Chinese police to get out of the Tesla factory. Look, if you love your Chinese slaves, your new niggas, then admit it, okay? That's like Beto the burrito down there in Texas. What did he say? Oh, all the immigrants and all the Mexicans and South Americans, they're the new blacks. That's why we gotta look out for them. They're the new blacks. You know, Beto the burrito and the rest of the Democrat Party, they want low price labor for their corporate masters. Period. End of story. And, you know, anybody that thinks Beto the burrito ever was hungry, not in this lifetime that I could believe. But anyway, I digress. So Democrats, you know, Tesla's a great example. You know, they're moving to Texas. In Texas, it won't be long. Texas will be as screwed up as California. You may not think that's possible, but yeah, it's a coming. Oh, that's if Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats don't start World War III beforehand. And I wish the world would have been this outraged. I wish the world would have gave this care this much. When Victoria Nuland and the neoliberals at the Center for a New American Security, CNAS, You should know that name. You should know who they are. They are the new PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, that brought the Twin Towers down, that brought in the justification for the surveillance state that the frickin' government had already introduced and had a full spectrum dominance. This is what they still are pushing for today. They haven't stopped. The U.S. government just admitted that they spied on 3.5 million people illegally. Why? Well, were these people that didn't like their children being taught to be racist through critical race indoctrination called critical race theory, teaching children to be racist because somebody did something in the past? Really? That's what it amounts to. Everybody seems to forget that the Democrat Party is the party of the Confederacy. It is the party of slavery. It is the party of Jim Crow. Maxine Waters, good old Dirty Waters there, doesn't want you to realize that the Democrat Party is as racist, as bigoted, as biased as they were during slavery. I think that's clearly obvious. Allowing inner city black neighborhoods, or, you know, in general, black neighborhoods, to be drug infested shitholes. To have liberal prosecutors of the George Soros brand, George Soros, the Hungarian Jew that was a full-fledged Nazi. To survive, he learned to be predatory. Actually, I think that's what most billionaires effectively become later, unless they have some great invention. But George Soros, you know, what's that guy? Is that where's Gascon? Is he in Philadelphia? I'm not sure. But you know, from St. Louis to Chicago to Philadelphia, to Baltimore, to most major cities, you know, liberalism, you know, trying to be kinder and gentler to people who have no respect for the rule of law, have no respect for you, and would literally shit in your front lawn and would tell you you're wrong because you believe that they shouldn't be living in the street and in your gutters, basically along the highways in California and everywhere else. And then you have to understand that it's all a grift, that the people, most of those people choose to be on the street. They choose to be where they're at because, well, they don't want to make the hard choices for their individual well-being and their individual liberty. It's a lot easier for people just to strung out on dope, just to lay there and keep shooting. And if these people are not mentally ill, who in the hell is? Now, they may be temporarily mentally ill. You know, yeah, addiction. Last month. I just can't get it through my head but then I'm not in the person's shoes, and it's not my priorities. That, you know, a mother of three, addicted to heroin. Overdoses. Overdoses on fentanyl, and now they prefer the fentanyl pills and the fentanyl buzz over the heroin buzz. I can kind of understand that drive from your body, but you have to have a mind that wants to be drug free. You know, if you just because you feel like shit because you're withdrawing, you better expect that. In fact, you know, I would rather see, people may not agree with this, I would rather see people come down hard off drugs. Now, I want people there for medical in case they really need it, in case they have a cardiac or event or something. But, you know, I believe people need to feel how hard that drug has essentially got a hold of their system. I know maybe that's mean, but I don't know any other way to get it through the thick skull of somebody who would be willing to go out and almost ride that, what you call it? I don't want to call it Russian roulette, fentanyl roulette. Okay. You know, fentanyl roulette and blow your, you know, kill yourself with it. You got three babies at the home. You got a man there that loves you. I mean, what the hell? Well, why is that drug of choice like that? I guess that's part of the mysteries of the mind and the addictive nature and personality of, you know, what people round themselves up into. I guess I was just glad that I was too damn cheap. I was too cheap to be a hardcore druggie. It's crazy. Democrats have ditched the COVID funding bill so they could rush through $40 billion more for Ukraine. For Victoria Nuland's war, which nobody has stood up and said, no, we should not be doing this. And now that Russia is pushing back, and I'm telling you, it's getting ready to really get serious. Finland and Sweden, I believe is who it is, are finalizing their agreements to join NATO, which is another red line that the Russians had said, talked about. Oh, this dang phone keeps shutting down, closing up. Anyway, so it's sheer crazy that nobody cares. Nobody in the world cared when the United States overthrew the legitimate government of Ukraine, and our media and everybody else acts like, well, you know, it's us. It's okay. How dare those Russian bastards? I hear them say that right after they come out their pie hole, their lying, stinking shit face. It's okay for the United States to regime change and do this and that and everywhere else around the world, and shit in the rush in the bear's backyard, and then wonder why the bear comes out and protects their cubs. This is nothing but grift and greed. You know, for the military industrial complex, you know, they're just making out like fat rats. Yeah. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, we know that, Ukraine is more important to Democrats than the American people. Why is that? Because the Democrats must have complete and utter destruction of Ukraine. That includes it being, how should we say it, nuked. Okay? In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if we see a chemical false flag attack or a false nuclear attack, in Ukraine. I have said that I do believe that, Kiev itself will be nuked, when it comes down to it in the end, just simply because it's not a direct attack on the West, and it is the Western puppet that is going on right now, and that there must be a message sent somehow, some way, through a third party that the United States will then get the effing message to quit overthrowing and social engineering revolutions in governments, not only in Russia's backyard, but around the world. This is all of this Ukraine stuff comes from U.S. imperialism. That's right. The United States Empire that believes that it can expand to the Russian border. Now, what I have to say about Europe, the European Soviet Socialist Union, the European Union is a fascist, German fascist creation. It's created by German industrialists who then became strong after the end of the cessation of hostilities in Germany and Europe, and they regrouped in secret, and the corporate fascists then used trade agreements and treaties to essentially take over Europe. Period. End of story. And here is the other piece that people will not know. People will not admit to themselves. Europe is just America's bitch. There are puppets on a string. You know, that's what the Europeans are in the eyes of the U.S. government, in the eyes of the United States-run NATO alliance. The NATO alliance that murdered innocent Europeans during the Operation Gladio. If there's one reason, and there's a multitude of reasons not to trust the United States and NATO. And these are just some of them. Look up Operation Gladio B, a woman by the name of Sybil Edmonds. Sybil Edmonds talked about the terror funding and then a continued escalation, because that never ended. Even after Sybil Edmonds exposed it, Scott Bennett with Shell Games, with a book called Shell Games. You ought to read that. It's about the United States of America, the Barack Obama administration, funding the enemies, the sworn enemies of the United States of America. That's just another traitorous action by Barack Obama. Yeah, you know, Barry Sorrento by any other name. Oh, gosh, you know, American people. Yeah, and you know, when are they going to realize that they're herded in politics from one political party to the others, from the Democrat Party? Everybody is going to be mad and puking and everything and voting Republican this time. And if I was everybody, I would vote for Trump. Doesn't matter what what party he runs under. And I would vote for every other independent and constitution and libertarian candidate on the ballot. Period. End of story. And the reason I say that is because of their a possibility of loyalties. Loyalties to the people and the Constitution in that order. Not loyal to some political machine. Not loyal to the system lords like Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy. You know, down here in Southwest Virginia, we just got kind of I got gerrymandered this year. And I'm in a different district next year than I am right now. And, you know, that's by some asshole from Salem, Virginia area, Morgan Griffith. You know, Morgan Griffith, you know, ever since he got into politics, and ever since he went to Washington DC, he has been part of the DC crowd. He is not part of the people of Virginia. Conservatives, libertarians, liberals, you know, Green Party, constitutionalists, you know, the independent Greens. You have to be particularly careful when you choose a political party. Because if you choose a Republican and Democrat party, what we know is that your vote is already stolen. That when you vote Democrat and Republican, you're voting for the establishment and the status quo that we have today. Not a Republican leader or a Democrat leader. You are voting for the status quo, for the political grifters to rip, rape, rob, and screw you out of every dime that you have. We see it happening day in and day out as the federal government has become dictator. That's why it's so important, and people will not realize it till later, that the power of to life and death from abortion must be returned to the power of the states, that the federal government must be limited in its grasp and its reach, as the Constitution says. If it's not in the Constitution, it should be designated to the states. We are 50 miniature countries, all together in a constitutional republic. If our federal government fails to remember that, then we are a dictatorship. No longer a constitutional republic. We'll be right back. Long day of research and trying to wake people up to what's going on in our world, I need to take a break and find my center. I do this by listening to music or watching a great movie.
If you find yourself doing the same, then come chill out with me every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Studio B, Crypt Rick's The Decompression Hour. It's time to put down that research and crank your stereo.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Join me at...